Good evening again. This is Mark Stanton Welch. This is the 24th of May of the year 2016, and this is Tools for the Times. We are on Block 4, Session 6, New Strategies for Conscious Thriving, Part 3, the final chapter. So we have gone all the way up to the green, and so tonight we are in the upper chakras, those beautiful throat and brow and crown. And boy, is there information in these. So let's get right into it here. And realize that the sharings of these are really the invitations that will put you out and launch you on your way with a whole bunch of possible elements to remember. If you get anything out of the course itself, it would be to go back and have this particular session as your ongoing manual. I think that's what I said in the beginning, way back when I started this particular session, was that it was going to be a manual of sorts. So it gives us new information, brings a review in, and then gives some suggestions of how to put these things into action. So please refer to that. Please come back to it. And let's go. Blue, throat chakra. One of the seven elements of that was, first one is the voice. The design is impeccable, a working masterpiece of form and function. The larynx and voice box are incredible, providing the sound source for the health and well-being and manifestation capacity of the being. This voice can be used to clear energies, clear energetic debris within the body itself. Sorry, just a minute. I'm going to put on a different pair of glasses here. This is a pretty tiny print, I'll tell you. All right. This voice can be used to clear energies, energetic debris within the body itself. It can be used to express the unexpressible wounds simply by sounding. It can communicate thoughts, ideas, beliefs, and feelings. It can send marching orders to the cosmos to make manifest the intention. It can entertain and accompany and inspire and inform. But to do all of this, it must be used. I do hope that by now, that you have found a use for your voice, and that whether it's in the privacy of your own space or in the front of thousands, you've been able to go ahead and be more cognizant of the importance of and be willing to speak your truth. Because really, there are certain foundational elements of this entire process. One is awareness, and the other really has to do with the willingness to use the voice. Onward. Too many, that meant too, T-O-O, many have been silenced by external command on threat or threat, and their voice is an echo of itself, used only for the bare essentials. This is truly one of the greatest injustices. If you have been silenced by any means except a physical compromise, then you must make a stand in this moment and reactivate the sound that is born in you. Make your sound. Shout to the heavens. Release all the unspoken words in a glorious cacophony of form-busting sound waves. Let's do something here. Let's just go ahead. I don't know what circumstance you're in, if you're able to go ahead and speak or not. I don't know. But let's just go ahead and do a safe thing by speaking our true name. Let's speak it seven times. It's been a while since we did this. Let's do it with the intention that we're going to use the voice and the name itself to go ahead and cleanse out any debris that is ready to move and even anything underneath that this is capping on. So let's go ahead on the count of three, seven times, your name. One, two, three. Mark Stanton Welch. 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 And so it is. Yes, make your sound, speak your words, recite your poems, tell your stories, sing your songs. Do it all and reconnect with the inborn substance that launches you into the world. Never be afraid to speak your truth outwardly, even if it is only to the wind. The unspoken cannot ever be silenced and stored in tissue again, ever. Speak out before you sleep all that was unsaid through the course of your day. Sigh a lot. Hum a lot. Play with the mouth and make sounds like you did when you were exploring the mechanism as an infant. Make your voice orchestrate the moments of the day. Talk to the trees and the animals and send loving words to all who cross your path. Hold nothing back. Doing so will activate a deep, deep element of your true power. Did we do this one last week? Somebody send me a text if we did. I'm going to keep going. Sounds familiar. Once again, it's hard to extricate myself from the information itself once I've spent the time doing it. Speak out if that's true. Become familiar with your voice. Speak with from the throat and notice how strident and clear it can be, projected into the back of the theater. Let your sound move into the cranium and notice how the nasal qualities tickle the crown and vibrate the pineal and pituitary glands. Move the voice down the back of your throat and let it drop into the body to give it the warmth and the substance of your life lived. Combine all three resonance chambers to give your voice the quality that speaks you. Play with this until you find your true voice. Make funny voices and engage them in conversation. Create characters that are identifiable by their voice. Apply accents and have fun. Play with vowels and consonants, extending the vowels to bring out the emotional substance of you. Let the consonants act like gates to your expression. Emphasize, re-explore how they are made in your mouth. Play with the mouth and tongue and placement to discover the harmonics that can be produced by you. Discern how the harmonics can impact your whole being and bring you into higher vibrational realms with your feet firmly planted on this glorious earth. Mimic life with your voice. Make the wind. Oh, we got an email. Yes, we did this last week. But maybe a review is necessary. I'll make a decision on that. Let me finish at least the voice because it is important. Mimic life with your voice. Make the wind and the waves and a rustling of leaves. Become a bird and communicate with those who fly into your space. Ask for help. Give compliments. Inform. Invite. Tell your current feelings. Ask questions. Engage in conversations as different characters. Invite others to play with you. Laugh long and hard and do a bunch of different variations. Ha, 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 ho, 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 and a couple of tra-la-las. Why not? Send your voice to an air in your body that's calling through pain or discomfort. Ask the pain what it has to say. Get off my foot. Get off my foot. Reach back to the wounds and dig up the wounds, the words cowering in the shadows of be quiet. Yeah, we did this. I remember this. Take them by the hand and lead them to the edge of the canyon and let them say what must be said over and over until it is all said. And then compliment one another out loud because you just like to hear the sound of this magnificent voice. You get the picture. And do enjoy it. We said make sound. We said communicate and express. We said use mantra and chant. That's what we did. We only got to mantra and chant, and we didn't get to language. Okay, got it. That's what I'm remembering. We made it halfway through. You know, the mantra and chant thing, it's critical. We've done things with it. So let me just underscore some elements rather than go back through a bunch of these because you've already got them. These were characteristics of mantra, and mantra basically is Sanskrit for that which protects and purifies the mind. Mantras are specific sacred statements of spiritual intention from a particular tradition, typically Hinduism and Buddhism, often calling upon specific deities for support. Go ahead and correct me if I'm wrong or if I already did this. Once again, everything's familiar at this point. Parallel lifetimes, parallel worlds. Like sound seeds planted in the mind which germinate a higher vibration to clear lower frequency interference. They are mantras and the sounds themselves are quite powerful and directly impact the chakras and the energetic bodies. Mantras are amplified and empowered by the number of times spoken in the past. Mantras repeated a specific number of times for a specific time period in a specific rhythm. Mantras can be done in the silence of the mind or spoken in a sing-song manner. And typically, this is once you become familiar with a mantra and the vibration is contained in the cells, you can just go ahead and think it. So you could be acting like you're listening to a conversation with someone and really you're looking like you're really engaged, and inside you're going, Om apadamapa hataram dataram sarva sampadam loka bhiramam shriramam buyu buyu namam yaham. Yeah. Om apadamapa hataram dataram sarva sampadam loka bhiramam shriramam buyu buyu namam yaham. Really? Okay. Om apadamapa. You get the picture. Mantras are traditionally spoken 108 times using mala beads as a counter. You can use fingers, digits. Children in your classroom. Memories from the past. You just need 108. Mantras can quickly alter a vibration to create the desired inner state through repetition and tone. And mantras in current times are both spoken and sung. Om Ashwina Tejasha. Om Ashwina Tejasha Chakshu. New melody. Om Ashwina Tejasha Chakshu. Om Ashwina Tejasha Chakshu. Spoken, sung. Different experiences. Use them. You can make mantras. Really, your name is a powerful mantra, and that's one of the reasons we use it. Once you clear the debris, you've got the access to the power and the presence and the template that exists within it and all the other things that it can do. Any statement that is a favorite of yours, anything that you've said with intention and emotion in a higher frequency way, not, damn it, I can't take it anymore. I'm not sure that's going to get the results. It's just going to keep giving you opportunities to have things that you can't take. But things like, how does it get better than this? How does it get better than this? How does it get better than this? These repeated statements of higher frequency can be really used as a mantra. Why not speak it 108 times? Use your mala beads. See what happens. A list of spoken mantras, a list of sung mantras is with what they're about. The first three sung mantras are on my sung mantra CD. The spoken mantras are all on the mantra CD. The Adi Shakti, the Setup Shakti is from, what is her name? It's that funny name. Is it written there? I'll come up with it. Om Vajra Satwa Hum is another one of the sung ones that I have. Her name starts with an S. Now, if you go to chants, here are the suggestions about what a chant is. They are different. They've been sung for thousands of years in cultures around the world, but so have the mantras been spoken. Chants are repetitious by design. Snatam Kaur is her name. Snatam. You think that these, I don't know. Out of all the Hindu names, I'm just saying. They're repetitious by design to help clear and focus the mind. That's what chants do. And they're often made up of powerful sounds or statements of conscious spiritual intention. They create a meditative, reflective mind state to relax and balance energetic bodies. They stir the spirit and activate the life force. Siri keeps coming on. Collective vibration amplified by chanting together as a group. They're great by themselves, but when you get a bunch of folks, it amplifies the experience. If you recall Close Encounters of the Third Kind, when they were over in India or somewhere in that area, maybe it was the mountains of Northeast LA, could have been, they were doing a mantra where there were thousands of people. Powerful stuff. Chants are also, they help to distract from negative repetitive thought patterns. If you find yourself really running a gamut on yourself or running a thought that's debilitating you and you aren't able to escape, go to a mantra or go to a chant. A particular chant that's useful in these kinds of situations is Gate, Gate, Paragate, Parasangate, Bodhisvaha. Gate, Gate, Paragate, Parasangate, Bodhisvaha. A sung chant from the Buddhist tradition about the heart chakra. It's a focus in the heart. It's called the Heart Sutra song. Gone, gone, the far beyond. Beyond our awareness. So we let go of these thoughts. Chants can open hearts, lift spirits, bring inner peace, connect and unify people, align us with spirit, ease suffering, give voice to deeper yearnings. Mighty cool. Chant is anchoring, facilitates entrainment, which is alignment. It engages the breath, elicits sonic effects because of the phonemes, and is amplified by clear intention. You choose. Once again, if it's something you're looking for in terms of getting into body, if you're looking for power, you're looking for a presence, to the chutzpah to face a situation, go to your Native American chants. And call upon the Hinamea, Hinamea, Hinamechichayo, 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 Hinahea, Hinahinaheo. Those things amplify the cells. They bring power. They pull it up straight through the feet from the earth herself. Into your hips, into your power center, into your extremities to take action. That was the Apache power chant there as the first example. We have the Gopala, you have the Gate Gate, which is there, the Om Mani Padme Hum from Tibetan Buddhists, the classic, the Bismillah from the Islamic tradition, and then you have the controversial Atlantean chants who were revealed somewhere back in the 80s. And again, I can see the guy's face, but I'm not remembering his name. I'm sure he's sitting there right next to Snatam Kaur. And they're exchanging ideas. Frank Alper. Thank you, Snatam. Frank Alper, the Atlantean chant. He was out of Tucson, Arizona. What was he doing there when he was supposed to be doing Atlantean stuff? Everything was underwater at one point. Now, then there's intentional songs, which I seem to be a proponent of. It's taking an affirmative statement and turning it into a song. The reason the song works is because, one, the music gets us out of the way of our own mind. It interacts and impacts and ignites a separate part of the mind than does spoken language. The frequencies of the melody itself, the way that I write songs, is really in alignment with where they impact the chakras. If you can see that the C scale, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C, then the melody is going to be going from one chakra to another, sometimes in repetition, sometimes in great leaps. I'm working on a series of recordings that are chakra sequences that are specific notes when slowed way down will take you on a particular journey through a series of chakras that has a particular purpose. Just dropped in one day. Pretty excited about it. The intentional songs are affirmative, repetitive songs created for a specific purpose of raising vibration. I stand here in my power. I am fully realized. I am free of limitations. I am holy. I'm divine. With endless energy and talent, I manifest my dreams. All my cells are in alignment. I'm as God created me. I am. I am. I am, I am. They can reinforce thinking patterns to change a belief or affirm a way of being. I give a little love, I give a little light, comes back round and I feel all right. Ah, Life is good. To keep repetition of that kind of a mantra chant like affirmative song, intentional song, is a good way to begin to attract a particular kind of vibration to you when you're not getting that prior to your choice. They're melodic, singable, and written to align with chakras to amplify the purpose, as I shared, and amplify the person as well. They can be used as a teaching tool to reinforce a concept. In endless potential, I set my intent straight into this moment. My focus is sent, clear in desire. I give it away. The details are handled as long as I say I let go, let go, let go. The process of manifestation as taught in that song. Intentional songs will often enter mind randomly when specific message is needed. Thus, specific message is needed. I must take good care of me, give my love to every moment, set my power free, nurture with compassion every holy cell in me, as this I know I shall grow. Song that is sung on the way back from the clubs. All right, so you got life is good. You and I are so connected. I do what gives me life. So the power of intentional song, chant, and mantra is profound. The music brings the intention into the cells and helps to clear the old energetic debris. It's as simple as that. It works every time. The songs continue to do what they do, and the more they're sung, then they start to drift into mantra land, and they become chant-like. They are borrowing from chant, and they are using principle of mantra, and that's why they're so important. In a sense, they were given birth through campfire songs for years and years and years and years. Of those unifying songs when kids were together, when people were trying to find a common energy, those kinds of songs would work. Form banana, form banana, and form banana, and form banana, and peel banana, peel banana, and go bananas, go bananas, and go bananas, and go bananas, and perhaps you've lost touch with your campfire song self. Just go to campfiresongs.com and you'll find everything you need. So another element of the throat was language, and then we have the silence, we have manifestation via spoken intention. Language was formed to facilitate common and consistent communication between people. There are many world languages, yet all are based on a common set of phonemes, or seed sounds, that are tied to the human vocal mechanism's capacity to form them. Of course, there are variations in each language, but there are more commonalities. There are also compromises made in each, adjustments made to fit the nature and capacity and preferences and politics and beliefs of the native people. When you just look at sound and common phonemes, it's really just an accent or a placement in the mouth that will give you the hint of where that particular language is coming from. Let the balls all lead the ball, let all. Didn't say a word in French, but it sure sounded that way. All right, so you're just going to tell me that my language is funny? No, wasn't going to do that at all. Well, hello. Yes, it is Butch from Customer Service. I am happy to be here. How was your day in Albuquerque? Again, a very clear enunciation, but obviously a place where they come from. I'm digging for all the other ones that are there. But really, it's a matter of using particular sounds. You know that there are certain sounds like huh, huh, that come in certain, which is a very, you know, that Germanic kind of energy, and then you got the, which is, we know, for coming from the Northland and the Lapland and all of those places up there. I'm not sure who that is, but I was attempting to get into the East somewhere. You see, it's placement within the vocal mechanism. It's where it is in the cranium or in the throat or in the body itself. Those are the elements that are there. So it's very, very fascinating to see that all of this comes from really the capacity of the voice itself to trigger sounds based upon the shape of the mouth, the placement of the tongue, and the use of those three chambers. And that's really all you've got going for you. But all language comes through that same mechanism. In English, as well as other languages, the foundation is the combination of vowels and consonants to form specific words. Common meaning is then applied to each word, so there is a consistency in communication. Typically, one hears language spoken first and then learns to make certain basic sounds. These sounds are then combined into words. A vocabulary starts and is built over time. Vowels are the sounds that carry emotion. They are the energetic foundation of words. The consonants are the fence posts that contain the vowels. Much can be discerned about the culture through looking at its language. For example, English, though a language much of the world knows, is a rather restrictive, inconsistent language influenced by the world. The English people, no offense, are rather rigid and unemotional, and thus the language uses short-sounded vowels fenced in by consonants. It has little emotion unless inflection is used by the speaker. On the other hand, Latin language, especially Mediterranean ones, extend the vowels and de-emphasize the consonants. That's nice. How come you got to feel it this way? Oh, no. Oh, my, no, no. Okay, sorry. I'm having fun here in my little isolated space. But you hear, you feel the passion of those languages when it comes through the voice. It's an emotional, organic language that speaks of passion. Think Italian. Think French. The way you speak is parroting, typically. Oop, I lost my place. Hold on. Is a parroting, typically, of the family and culture you were raised in. Personal adaptations are made to give your own language a flavor of expression. Often it is a combination of multiple influences that add to its character and will reflect the current inner state of the speaker. Language ought to be living and flowing. It needs to be felt. Not all languages do this. Learn to use your language creatively by varying pacing and inflection. Choosing different emphasis, perhaps even putting the emphasis on the wrong syllables. Extending vowels and softening those consonants. Even adopting the flavor of an accent. Why not? In a world that looks for commonality at the expense of individuality, you may be considered a rebel for a while. The rest of humanity will catch up and discover the beauty of vocal expression as a tool for enjoyable communication. Of course, it can get a little contrived, or a lot contrived. It can get out of hand and be annoying. But to vary it a little bit is to have fun with it. And not only are you just varying it, you're also accessing emotional elements within you and doing some clearing work at the same time. There's a lot to be done with language. It's not just a delivery. And honestly, you can tell a lot about someone in relation to how their voice sounds and where the placement is within their body. You can hear where they're resistant to go. You hear where the wounds are to some degree. You can at least locate some of the woundings that have occurred in their life from where they place their voice, places they're unwilling to go into. The volume and the inflection will indicate the level of the clarity of the second chakra and third chakra, and their sense of connection with the earth and their sense of that grounding and self-care can be, you know, looked at if their voice doesn't want to go into their body. This is why this is in the throat chakra, because language is not just for communication. It has, well, it is, but it's oh so much more than just sharing a thought or an idea. Learning other languages makes the world a more inhabitable place. It also exercises the brain in powerful ways that expand your mind and intellect. There's a commercial from, God, I'm just having trouble connecting with all these. I think I let too much out at the beach. Kind of turned up empty here. What's the yellow boxed course of language, as you see in all the airports? You know what they are, but, you know, one of those things is talking about, well, you know, you can get another TV, you can buy another car, you can do all these things and have them, or you can learn a new language and open up yourself to the world. I think that's a great ad, because it's true. A new language is revealing itself from the spiritual realms. Light language, called by some as speaking in tongues, is a direct channeling of spirit to the higher self via your vocal mechanism. The impact is sound-based, though it often reveals celestial languages born in the angelic realms and in planetary cultures and ascended beings. It simply is a matter of opening to it, allowing sound to speak through you. Anything goes. It has character and moves quickly from one form to the next. Doing this for 5 minutes leaves one in an open, somewhat altered state. Perhaps we are preparing ourselves for the upcoming oneness, where barriers and separation are left behind. And you remember, we had a session where I actually began to drop that in for a moment, and it really is just a random and seemingly random collection, but to be on the inside of it is to just follow where it goes. Now, everything that I'm doing with that, boy, that was a weird one. I don't mean to say weird. It was just sort of out of the norm. It was even for light language, it was out of the norm. Oh, sunset's actually pretty nice. I'll be back in an hour. But the light language thing, it's fascinating. When you're going down the highway, do it, because what it's doing is every time the placement of my mouth, the tongue is hitting various places on the upper palate in there, and the soft palate, the hard palate, it's causing the movement of the jaw, then the sound itself is moving to various locations within the body. Why not trust that this is coming from a place that has greater wisdom, that is really delivering to you some information on a vibrational platform? Why not? Okay. Second to the last element, silence. Waves pulse and a start and a stop over and over. The pause between allows both integration and inspiration. Waveforms oscillate above and below the zero axis over and over. The zero point, the place of infinite silence. Breath comes in a preparation for sounding, speaking, singing, and then after a brief pause in silence, expresses outward in a burst of energy that has a specific duration. At the end of the duration, there is silence. The silence is important as the sound. The audible cosmos is not an incessant cacophony, a constant barrage of waves that assaults the senses. It is rather a beautiful dance that relies as much on the expressed as the unexpressed, the audible as the inaudible, the sound as the silence, to manufacture the form of the now. We need the silence to allow the incubation of the next expression. In this plane of duality, the silence is one of the extremes, the theoretical absence of sound. Mostly, it is just a resting point where the potential gathers for the next expression. Silence allows the integration of the word, the phrase, the sound, the song, the music, the light, the thought. We crave the silence. We crave the silence, though many are afraid of it. Too much has been repressed by too many for too long. At that point of the nothing, the unexpressed moves to express. Most do not want that experience, so they turn away from the silence and they fill their moments with sound of any kind, the TV, music, the radio, the fan, the water fountain, the sound machine, the waves, incessant thoughts, self-talk, on and on. It is time to step out of the onslaught of distraction and allow the inner debris to ooze and flow and flood out of you to bring you once again back to the warmth and loving arms of the silence. For in this place you shall meet you once again, free of the stamp of the past, the signature of the energetic memory held tightly, free of all that you have run from. There you are with open arms in the sweet, sweet silence. Do not hesitate for a moment. Go there. And finally, with the throat, we have the manifestation via spoken word intention. In the soup of the vibrating plasma, the cosmos oscillates from one form into the next in a delightful dance orchestrated by the intentions set forth by the inhabitants. We each manifest our desires in a complete and noble process. Manifestation takes place as born in your intention, expression, action, and receptivity. The vision is seated in the will center, solar plexus, as the pure wisdom enters the back of it, replete with all the intellect needs to fabricate the whim, the design. The design moves to the third eye via the heart, the throat, and the pituitary. At the throat intersection between front and back, the intentions are seated with celestial perspective to raise the frequency of that intention. At the pituitary, the vision is received and held against the prism of our highest purpose, reflecting also our current state of self-value. The latter can impact the nature of the form that is attracted to the launched intention. The vision itself is launched via the third eye projection, refined in the chambers of the pituitary, infused with the energy that has risen from the plexus through the heart and throat. If simultaneously spoken while sending out through the third, the impact is amplified significantly. The spoken word is the energetic command for energies to respond magnetically to create the forms necessary to make manifest the intention. One must pay attention to the nuances that follow and make adjustments as they arrive in order to direct the manifestation into actualization. Reframing the intention as it moves from the forms showing up keeps the energy moving and adjusting to create the refined product. I hope I said reframing and not the other reword. Thinking is not as powerful as verbal expression when it comes to manifestation. It has no visceral energy and can thus be an amorphous cloud that gives mixed signals to the energies gathering to align. This is really important because so many people have been silenced and they've learned to rely on the mind to be their projection device. It's okay, but it doesn't have the chutzpah. It's got no nads. It doesn't give any substance to it. I'm just going to think real hard and make manifest what I desire. There. It just lacks a little bit, and it seems a little more like someone is really just stuck on the pot. Thinking is not as powerful. Nope. Putting all of the pieces into action can almost assure the result to be in alignment with the intention, expanded into oh so much more by the always higher perspective of the cosmic. It is a beautiful cooperative process that feeds itself when it is tended and utilized. So, do that and start forming your intentional life more easily. We leave behind the blue and we move into the indigo. And of course, at the indigo, we start with the vision. The third eye chakra is the seat of vision where the imagination and child wonder combine with the higher spiritual truths to initiate the manifestation process. Vision is primarily image-based, but the impact of the vision is amplified by the application of additional sensorial information. Holding the vision in mind and allowing the inner and outer guidance to infuse additional information can be a useful process. The real trick with intention and vision is to flesh out the vision as much as you can and then consciously let it go to the cosmos to apply the big picture energetics and form to it. Getting out of one's own way is an essential tool for working in harmony with the universe. You have done your part. Now let the celestials do theirs. It is easy to get caught up in the forcing a specific form with a host of detail onto the cosmos. It's not that this is such a detrimental thing, but more that it will give you tunnel vision as you look for the specific form you have set in motion or imagined. This does not allow you to expand awareness enough to notice and respond to the nuances as they come in, working to create the all this or something more magnificent that the multiverse is so accomplished at. Remember that you are accessing universal law to serve you. It does what it does consistently. You are the variable here, so monitor your desire and action intended to control the outcome. This is simply foolish to think you can out-manifest the cosmos. In the early days of the manifestation wave, people were taught to really get into it and, you know, draw it up, picture, have the magazine filled with the way you wanted it. And then it was to let it go, but they weren't taught how to let it go. They kept looking for the thing that they had in the magazine. And sometimes it showed up. But as it says here, the problem with that and the great challenge is that it never allowed anything more. And the universe is always about giving the bigger picture, of bringing more to it. How does it get better than this? And it really is about giving us something that is now in alignment with our frequency as opposed to the frequency that was there when we intended it. Things don't wait around while we keep looking for our ship to come in. Everything moves onward. It expands outward, including us. Trust that you will receive more than you intended, something more in line with the highest good as regulated via your higher self. Build those muscles and participate fully in your part. Then surrender to the flow, playing the role of the claimer as you watch out for that which is showing up for you. And finally, celebrate your vision and the outcome. Celebrating your vision and the outcome is the cap on the experience that invites more in. Acknowledge your guides and manifestors, your manifestation inner committee, all the parts. This will assure their future performance to be in line with your highest good. Not really, they're going to be there anyway, but it's nice for you to be involved and to recognize the power of your own gratitude and appreciation. It's good for the heart. Wonder and imagination. Well, when we first incarnate, we hold the capacity of wonder. This is the full body's openness to experience the world on all levels. The process is experienced when we engage with something for the first time. Not knowing its purpose or its capabilities opens up all the senses to discern, pay attention, and learn more. Wonder has been relegated to the child state. In fact, most public schools have not so subtle agenda of diminishing wonder and imagination to instill cooperative, follow the herd mentality in action. The loss of the childlike state is even celebrated culturally with every grow up and act your age or crybaby thrown in your direction. Becoming an adult signifies the end of those whimsical ways and for most, the final blow to wonder and imagination, unless you are an artistic one or someone who writes or does film. Most adults are better workers with little autonomy and personality. Black and white only. No color, please. The sense of wonder engages all of the chakras. Imagination is capacity to see beyond what appears. The truth of the plane is that it is multidimensional, with which a vast array of perspectives and potential realities available in a given moment. With a vast array of perspectives and potential realities available in any given moment. The imagination is the frontier, the Wild West, where anything is possible. Elements are not restricted to the known rules and laws. New uses and alternative outcomes are the required actions here. It is the great land of inviting the cosmos to outdo herself with a statement like, "How does it get better than this?" Wonder opens the door to the heart, and imagination takes over with a sea of possibilities, and current impossibilities as well. Stepping outside of the form is a conscious act of courage. The culture regulates the celebration of this. Artists are given creative license with a strong undercurrent and caveat that haunts them. As the artists of all disciplines, funny, it's a funny word this is here in this context, disciplines, yeah, are allowed and encouraged to bring expression to the inner world of emotion, feeling, wonder, and the land in the fringe. They are also expected to suffer with the energetic burden of the unprocessed emotional underbelly of the culture itself, of the culture itself. The inspiration that pours from and through their personal soul becomes a subject of ridicule at the hands of the critic. The artist's personal world is fair game to judgment and finger-pointing and insensitive comment. This art, when criticized, is a deep extension of the artist, and so too are the criticisms that devalue and denigrate their work. Creation speaks individually. Mass connection to something is fueled more by the fear of the masses not fitting in than a recognition of a universally impactful piece of work, though this does happen now and then. In a sense, creativity is loosely supported, but also subject to criticism. So much so that the tendency to appreciate any work of creation for the effort put forth becomes a subject of the everyone gets a participation trophy attitude that keeps creativity a unique, God-given quality of the few, rather than something we all have the capacity to develop and experience. Sad. No wonder so many artists die before their time, imitating the expectation that they suffer for their creations. It is like every time they reveal a creation, they are opening up their chest to put their heart in your hands to have your way with. When every creation is interpretive and impacts each viewer differently and personally, how can there be some universal judgment on a piece of art by a self-proclaimed professional critic that is taken seriously? But the Piscean model is founded on hierarchy and judgment, the survival of the fittest, the rising of the cream to the top, the best of this and that, for now. Hopelessness is a commodity marketed slyly by the ones in power. Bring in the Aquarian now. Imagination and wonder are the true conduits that reveal the beautiful expanse of life, the interconnectivity of all things, the rich panorama of infinite possibility, the secret places of creation and joy, the unique expression of the I am in me and in you and in everyone else. Left alone, they would facilitate a world of open-hearted joy and play and full-body experience. Well, we can't have that now, can we? Whew. And it makes me wonder. Imagine that. Glandular care. The pineal gland is a master gland, overseeing the entire glandular system to function in accordance with its design. When the pineal becomes compromised, then the whole system stumbles, and disease and confusion become regular parts of our day. How is it that chemicals and fabricated food substances put purposely in food to cut costs impact that very gland? Fluoride, that panacea, the dentist's champion, is one of the main chemical compromises we have invading the masses. Each chakra is aligned with a gland in the body. How often is this talked about? Too often there is little attention or education given about them unless something goes wrong. Living in this world, it seems inevitable. Living in this world, that seems inevitable. Losing vitality and clarity and the capacity to sustain the vibrant health state is a high cost to pay for the infusion of a lie sold to the trained lemmings. It would be wise to educate oneself on the nature of the glands and find ways to energetically support them. Learn the foods and the nutrients that support their optimal functions. Consciously augment their frequency through the use of voice, word, sound, mantra, and chant. The last thing to do is to buy into the gulping of pills and contraindications with contraindications a mile long. That needs to be the last resort. Your body is an immaculate design and really does know what to do here, what today here. Let it do its work. I didn't put a lot of effort into that one or a lot of information, because you can find out everything you need to know about them. But to realize that the pineal needs to be tenderly cared for, and that really involves us monitoring substances that we put in, and yes, even thinking patterns. In this particular chakra, in the indigo, is guidance as well. Most of us have been taught to think we are living on some isolated colony in the corner of space, engaged in a lonely process of a single incarnation that is, for better or worse, with a host of eternal consequences. We've been taught to be afraid of anything outside of us, to not trust the voices within, to think that the kingdoms are here simply for us to use and abuse, that the earth is an inert heap of dirt that can be used up with no consequences to us. Good grief, how stupid can people be? To look up at the vast array of stars at night and still believe that we are alone is the height of stupidity. To allow the belief that God speaks only to the chosen few, who are the intermediaries that you must use, is below shallow and is very damaging and an isolating choice. Enough said. You get the picture here. We most definitely are not alone. We have the earth herself in direct communication and relationship with every living thing on her surface and within her as well. The elemental kingdoms and all the beings there are in relationship with us 24/7, serving to assure that the lifeline between earth and human functions on all cylinders. We have the animal kingdom that feeds us and befriends us and protects us. There is the host of personal etheric guides available to each by calling. The angelic hierarchies and ascended masters are aligned and committed to support and communicate with us multidimensionally. Our own higher self is a direct personal connection with the cosmic source energy, directing us and facilitating a successful incarnation, whether we want it or not. The space beings from all over the galaxies are in frequent interaction and visitation, sharing ideas and knowledge and skills and techniques to advance all. So, alone, you say, who on earth would be stupid enough to buy into that one? And I do use a word stupid on this, because stupid means uninformed. And that is a definitely uninformed perspective. The third eye and the ear, as well as the backside of the brow chakra, served to be conduits for guidance of all kinds. The medulla is the entrance point for the God frequency that inspires our own expression of that source. We are well-equipped receivers for the vibrational contact that permeates the cosmos thoroughly. Yet those voices you hear will mean that you are crazy and might be committed to some state house. Really? The voices of God and all your guides are there to drive you crazy. How about answering them once in a while, asking them as well what they are doing, who they are, and expressing some heartfelt gratitude for their presence? Use your tools, man. Take advantage of your design and step out from behind your poor me lounge and open to the much greater picture that includes you in your power, not your wimpiness. Enough of this ignorance and settling for a manufactured bastardization of your true self. Open up now and receive, then act upon what you receive. You are not alone, ever. This is a really important one, because the world is isolating, and it seems to be directly intended to be so. To see people disappear into a technology device, as much as I love them, is to also watch the cost against actually having human communication. The bonus of that, though, as it just drops in, is that what it's doing, it's also opening up personal channels to expanded connection from the inside, which I think is one of the purposes for it. So it isn't so much the cost of human-to-human connection, which is an important element. It is also to keep in mind that the openings that are occurring are profound in a multidimensional oneness way. Interesting thought. More on that next week. Intuition and the senses. Intuition has had a rough road. Access to higher guidance was simply not what the common folk do. And if you find yourself doing so, then you must be a witch, in which case we will attempt to drown you. If you survive, then you are a witch and will be burned at the stake. Any questions? After that came the psychic age, when the select few had the gift and the capacity to tell your future for a price. They were originally gypsies, but later turned into Hay House authors and late-night readers like Madame Cleo, who would charge by the minute, skilled in extending time through long round about answers that often told multiple clients the very same thing. Psychics became intuitives in an attempt to gain respectability. What it all comes down to is the fact that everyone who has ever landed on Earth has the intuitive capacity when called upon. Few were encouraged to explore it. Those who had awareness were still seduced by the wash of exclusivity. It still oscillates between a successful and expensive practice of telling others what they likely already know but aren't willing to acknowledge, and the knowing that I have intuition and can harness its usage by paying attention, believing in it, and putting it into action to develop it. Even put out a shingle if I desire. So suffice it to say that we are all gifted and capable. Decide to access it and start using it to develop your own dimensional connection. Maybe you hear the guidance. Maybe you see it. Maybe you feel it. Maybe you can get it from an object. Maybe you access it through dreams or meditations or standing in the ocean facing 20 degrees east of south with one hand parallel to the shore and the other askew in a way that is determined by the amount of sunlight shining off the second wave's face of each set. Boom! There it is. I'm not mocking it, but I'm rather reminding you that it is one of your established skill sets bequeathed at birth. Accept that. Believe it. Access it. Intuition is considered the sixth sense. As such, it is an extension and amplification of the others. It has to be trusted at first blush for it to become reliable. Questioning the guidance is a sure recipe for thumb twiddling for pay while you make up what the person before you wants to hear. Start to develop it if you choose. Listen, watch, act upon thoughts. Feel the answers and act on the feeling. Walk and make in now decisions on the path. Make in the now decisions on the path. Go for intuition drives where you decide spontaneously at each intersection the next direction. See where it leads. Lots of books and ways to develop all your senses. Get them and start playing. Next thing you know, you are in the dimensional flow, getting guidance and securing information that just drops in. You can see the historical perspective of how our gifts and our talents that are there by design were first denied or first turned to and put in the hands of a select few who were carefully chosen, because it took away the power from you and me, the common folk. What do the simple folk do? We intuit every day. Boy, I can see a new musical. But the point is, these gifts, you got to start using them. First of all, you buy into the idea that it's possibly there. And you work as if you don't need the money. You just act as if, like you got it. Like you're, you know, the best reader in the planet. And you read for yourself. You read for fun. You read for no profit for a while. Just see how, and just hone your chops. Open to it. Be spontaneous. Take action on anything that comes in. Why not? You're developing trust there as well. You're developing flexibility. Those are powerful tools in these times. Are you seeing that these things that have been dumbed down, that have been put on the back burner, that have been relegated to cultism, are the very things that would free us all up? So, the big picture, which is part of the sixth chakra. There is a way things appear to be, and there is the big picture. In a world where truthfully nothing is as it seems, you are invited to call upon the inner guidance and outer inspiration to give you the more than meets the eye about each situation you find yourself attending to. The first response to most things is a combination of personal, familial, and cultural learnings that defined how life was supposed to show up. As long as you believe this, then there was predictability, which easily translated to comfort zone, which meant a life of greater ease. Too often, however, the first understanding of the form of the moment was not what was true. There was so much more. And the more this happened to you, the less you were invested in what appeared to be first. The greater experience is in the expanded view that contains alternative messages and lessons and learnings, new perspectives and opportunity and unexpected solutions. In other words, this is the land of supreme adventure. The big picture was the ticket to the expanded cosmos, expressing in the moment just for you. Looking for this first is the coolest thing to do, as you can have many layers of learning available to you in any situation. You pick and choose. Truth is all. Truth will be revealed. Truth is all will be revealed if you even entertain the thoughts of the big picture first. Boy, my tongue is just not working. Jeez. That sentence needs a little bit of reworking. Because this is the nature of things, with the great circle of time and space floating just here, we are able to access multiple realities that contain the same characters but different outcomes and impacts upon you. Cool, huh? Live in the expanse. Life is so much more. There is simply no way to get bored here. See you out in the cornfield. So, it takes an adventurous spirit to walk the walk. I'm sorry, to walk the path that we have been walking here. To even open up to imagination creativity and creativity is to realize that most of the great revelations, most of the great creations, most of the great inventions were out on the fringe at first blush. Crazy people they all were, going against the status quo, and then something happened that brought it into the mainstream, and it became a household item and a belief that everybody subscribed to. But at first, it wasn't. That's what we're doing here. We're talking about the fantastical. We're talking about things outside of the norm. And yeah, it's heresy in some circles. But you resonate with it. And the pieces that you resonate with more are so important. And let's look at the final element of the sixth chakra, which is personal value. Despite the fact that we incarnate time after time into this earthly dimension, knowing the truth of our being, each time we slip into the forgetting, called the Great Veil. Because that is the way of the spiritual warriors. How quickly can I remember? New generations are already incarnating, knowing the truth, and despite the pressure of the status quo to exert its pressure to hold them back, many are starting to break that hold. And this, my friends, will free us all up to that grand and glorious picture. More on that later. Our self-esteem and sense of personal value start to form at conception. The energies and attitudes and experiences and clarity of the parental units, especially the mother, go far in establishing an energetic field that contains some strong diversions. The flow of the pregnancy, the birth, and the first moments of incarnation are also critical in supporting us in believing we are wanted and treasured and have a larger value that we are able to articulate. The ongoing results of these experiences and more are held in the influence and care of the third eye chakra, particularly influenced by the backside flow that holds the original template of the I am to compare our experience with. Without a conscious understanding of the big picture here, it is very easy to get lost in the confusion of who am I. The truth keeps running up against the experience and reveals inconsistency, contradiction, and mighty WTF moments that cause us to stutter and start over and over. Couple this with the compromises that are laid upon us at the hands of the mighty Piscean brainwash, and still in place limited thinking and behaviors, and we have certain potential for ongoing disaster. The gift of the times is that the influx of energy is shifting the residue that is keeping many of these limiting perspectives in place. Our inner eye is opening. The influx of misunderstanding that typically channels from below is diminishing and allowing the original template to exert more influence. The collective yearning for home is shifting each of us to be more likely to see ourselves in the new light than in the fading folly of the old. This is some really good news. The information contained in this course is a profound tool for waking up your inner knowing that sends you into the lands of self-love and acceptance. The course provides the new learnings that are disintegrating the incarnational misinformation and distractions. This is going to work anyway, but it becomes exponential when you actually use the information and apply the tools. Looks like it's all in your hands, my compadre. I suggest you jump in with everything willing and open and get moving on the full reawakening. Just do it. And finally, we move to Violet Land. The higher self. Some say that the higher source is the soul. Some say that it is the celestial liaison between source. I meant to say the higher self is the soul. Some say that the higher self is the soul. Some say that it is a celestial liaison between source and the I am that I am expressing as me. Others say that it is a vehicle that connects the energy bodies to allow instant communication. Still others affirm that it is that part that oversees our moments, bringing us exactly what is necessary to remember who we are. Let's just say that the higher self is all of this and more to be discovered. It starts, as always, with awareness, choosing to be open to the presence of that element of us, and then consciously creating relationship with it can have a profound impact on one's understanding and experience of this earthly dimension. To trust that there is an extremely potent and connected part of us that is aligned with the cosmic and will not steer us into anything we are not able to handle, though this truth may not be available to us in the moment, requires a willingness to make great leaps of faith. It's a profound tool in the belt. What it can do is to inspire us to take risks in ways we have yet to risk, to trust in ways that we have not shown a capacity, to be open to the forms of the moment in ways that previously would have precipitated hesitation at the least. If indeed we are always in the best place at the best time, then that which is before becomes an invitation and a personal exploration to validate a celestial truth, not even a challenge. Knowing we are cared for by the unseen as well as the internal ignites a very different approach to living. One can be confident and courageous and inspired to step into the waiting adventure that has just revealed itself. This kind of confidence seeds the following moments with a growing call for opportunities to practice this divine truth without hesitation. Imagine that, not swayed by the form, because there is always that higher perspective. This invites one to turn inward for guidance and information. At the same time, the senses are expanding to drink in all the frequencies to be able to direct the pathway to the highest good of all, for all. Rather than be a human who is victimized by random circumstances, you can become the spirit being in conscious connection with the big picture that is magnetizing a juicy and expanded life in each breath. Sounds fabulous to me. And what can you do to facilitate this? Trust the information and consciously explore its personal applications. Look at every event as the next best thing for you, no matter the form. Knowing you are ready because the exciting inner mining to find the perspective, the skill, and the unused capacity to flow into and through the moment's gift. Welcome to the new you. Source alignment as the second of the seven. Up until now, it's been a hard road to figure out. Even with the new revelations contained in the unprecedented energy wash of these times, there is still no sure thing. Transitions are like that. being under the cellular and historical influence of so much of the old Piscean limited living paradigms must be overcome through successive leaps of faith and gobs of trust in these early days to lay the foundation that allows the new to take seed and eventually flourish. For lifetimes, we have aligned with misinformation and beliefs that life was hard and the cosmos was suspect at best to be detrimental to your health. Honestly, though, did that ever really fully resonate with you? Surely there was a grain of inner knowing that called bullshit at the times when it seemed the worst. You always knew it was different than it appeared. And now, with the flood of the higher vibration, we are getting evidence that the spark of truth within each of us was absolutely correct. We are spiritual beings incarnated into the human physical form on a sweeping journey to remember who we are far beyond what has appeared in the smoky terrain for so long. Bottom line, we are in direct contact with the source. Yes. There are go-betweens that will assist us in raising our frequency to handle the mighty vibrations that are needed to wear the wholeness clothing effectively. And that is happening with every new thought that is allowed to take seed, with every new action we take away from the long-held pattern. Sorry about my typos. For every time we consciously walk away from the lemming mindset that was required for successful earthly survival. You are connected to celestial source, to earthly source, to personal source. Accept that. Invite it to reveal what it means to you, and let it show you the wild ride of infinite knowing and let you drink in the supreme gifts of your original design. Remember, the more you trust, then the more there is to trust. Let the cosmos feed you. Again, you have to reach out in thought and action to initiate the reception via the flow you tap into. We are not at the frequency yet where the flow just happens without our personal invitation. That is coming. Just might be tomorrow. Multidimensional living, the third in the crown seven. It is hard to forget that we have been fed a steady diet of limited thinking that has shaped the personal and collective reality of the bulk of humanity. As we tiptoe into the new times, it is hard to let go of that comfort zone of compromise. It gives us enough of our creature comforts to be willing to wake up another day to do the same old thing. Too many fall for good enough when it is such a shadow of the true picture of the dimension, Earth and beyond. To look beyond the flat land of this isolated planet in space, to run up against the impossibility of believing that we are alone in the galactic outpost, I think there's a verb missing, is to run up against the impossibility of believing that we are alone in the galactic outpost. If you have ever looked into the starry sky, it is impossible to think you are alone and that this expanse would ever stop. It is as yet unfathomable to think into the true nature of the expanse because we are just too used to the fear-based ostrich lives that shield out anything that would even bump against the status quo. Changing the point of view will change your experience of that which is before you. The dimension of Earth is so much more than just length, width, and height. Even with those three dimensions, we can expand our thinking to see beyond the flatness if we tilt our beliefs just so. The sphere of life is all pervasive and there for the claiming, if you dare. It starts with looking beyond what you see. It involves an engraved invitation to the senses to attend the after party of the daily grind. They have been waiting so long for you to use them beyond their minuscule basic package. Step up, step out, step in, and invite them to reveal life to you in the new clothing of oh so much more. Opening the senses is the first step to living beyond the known. Into the unknown has always been the invitation and the clarion call. But how can you hear it when your AM radio only gets one channel? Bullshit. That's the channel. Bullshit. Once you open your senses and your mind, then the flooding begins. One by one, the existing dimensions appear out of the ethers and show you what you have tasted in those isolated moments of greater awareness, usually via drugs, prime experience, grace, or spontaneous awareness. Remain open and keep experiencing and oohing and aahing to bring forth the magnificent revelation that is inevitable. The dimensions are there. They always have been. So remind yourself that you are simply opening to the what is. Claim the adventure and ride the newly acquired courage to carry you to your own personal brink of waking up. Yes, there are multiple dimensions. We go to them every day in a host of ways. Wake up and discover. Rediscover the tickets in your hand, then explore them each to learn again how to navigate them. It is in your cellular memory, programmed to activate on your day of awakening. And that was yesterday, by the way. Come on, let's go. There's so much more. Creating the expanded community. Now that you have reclaimed the multidimensional lifescape, you are invited to assemble a functioning community of the expanding life. Here, as a reminder, is a sequence of how you might go about that. Start with the self and really get to know your inner wholeness. From there, expand to the personally connected higher self and the etheric beings aligned to your frequency of wholeness. From there is a short step into calling for the angelic hosts, the ascended masters, the space beings, the personal expression of Source. Going in the other direction, make peace with the animal kingdom, the insect kingdom. Move on to the trees and the plants and the elemental beings. Moving onward to the mineral kingdoms and the rocks and stones and soil, you are building the solid foundation for the eventual reconnection with Mother Earth Gaia herself. Move deeper to connect with the earth core and access the formative forces that facilitate physical power. This will be your entryway into the subatomic realms and the quantum soup. The sphere of infinity is just that, unending in all directions. The more you choose to immerse yourself in the knowing, then the more amorphous time and space become. So much so that in a relative time, they become malleable and ripe for exploring. Talk about a vacation worth remembering. In the meantime, consciously connect with all the dimensions of life that come your way. The elements, the weather, the earth, the plants, the animals, the stars, the people, the dreams, the intentions. From this soup, you will develop the personal means to become unlimited. And in strictly human terms, continue to refine your family of choice to reflect your current vibration. Your frequency will be a mighty magnet that will push and pull against the all that is to manifest the playmates of the now. Engage and be grateful in a play-filled way. With no boundaries, you are unlimited in your choices of experience. The laws of physics are suspended in these sublime realms. Not so the cosmic laws. You are now in the grand discovery space where it is like being a newborn again. All senses are on, and it is just about the experience. Name nothing but experience it all on as many levels as you choose. It is a gift in alignment with your willingness to become the adventurer. Happy rebirthday. Three more elements here. Creating the extended community is what we just did. Living with chi. Up until now, we were taught that it was air, food, and water that were necessary to thrive in this Earth's plane. Whew. Well, add to that the life force, chi, and you will be current. Consciously accessing chi, though it has always been in play below your level of awareness, will open up energetic doors to reveal a divine cosmic blueprint for the life beyond the way it's been. Know that the chi rides the breath, and with every breath, acknowledge the manifestation of this life force that will integrate your consciousness with the physical energetic template. This will open the more profound relationship that frees the true design to give you what your body and beyond are truly capable of. Of course, you will need a reliable vehicle in which to travel the revealing landscape, and the expanded body is just the one. Simply being open to allowing the influx of chi will open these doors and show you how to best use your new awareness. We are fast rising out of the land of limitations and entering that panoramic playground of the infinite now. Regulate and maintain your chi force, and it will continue to bless your whole self waking up. Know it is thee. I believe know it is there. Call upon it. Send it to specific areas. Use it. appreciate it, store it, call upon it. Inexhaustible it is. Surrender and letting go. In the Western world, it's like we leave the womb running, revving up to get something done. Lifetimes of being driven to achieve, succeed, get better, get stronger, get clear, has turned into shallow breathing and a short attention span. And all the while, the universe just keeps oscillating and changing and manifesting the myriad of forms for your moment-by-moment pleasure. The crown chakra is functionally active at birth as the celestial downloads drop in to implant the skills and the information and the vibrational support. The cells and tissues are reminded over and over to not hold on to the energy. Release it through the breath, through movement, through voice. And all the while, those in the Western programs and some Eastern are diverted to control themselves, control the forms of living, control the outcomes, control everything. The system of clearing automatically is compromised, and the two forces meet in the center, the solar plexus, one pushing for release and one pushing for holding on. Result, ongoing conflict that eventually redirects the design to retreat and allow the slowing of the vibration temporarily. Meanwhile, the notion of surrender and letting go are programmed to mean loss, giving up, mistake, and failure. The insidious pressure to keep things in control and stuffed pushes on and on and on up until now. The cosmic influx of higher frequency energy is about initiating the clearing of the resistance. This is why it has been so hard for so many. Well-entrenched energetic patterns and toxic debris are being mined from the tissues and cells, releasing it into the system for clearing. It is intense, even for those who understand. And for those completely unaware, it is overwhelming, so much so that many are simply stopping the resistance because they're worn out. And what do you know? This opens the door to letting go. Stopping the resistance allows the flow to move once again. The flow moves to initiate letting go of the control strictly for some relief in the first stages. The letting go reveals the divine wisdom underneath the process and opens the door to an inner shift that invigorates and investigates the power of surrender. Surrender is like a fine wine that soothes the spirit. Nimis in a knee and soothes. Soothes the spirit and softens the inner need to regulate the forms. Surrendering reveals the alternative solutions to that which is pushing against the comfort zone. It opens a conduit to subtle guidance. It shifts the personal frequency enough to begin to attract that which is perfect for the form of the now moment. The higher self is able to communicate on deep levels and nourish the inner spirit to continue to keep the surrendering. This results in a whole new unrestricted energy arrival. In the flow, the moment expands multidimensionally to present the infinite variations contained within it. It is delightful and inspiring, so much so that surrender can quickly become the way to live in the now. Holding on is so 2010. Everything is changing always. Let it, and so will you. What a grand design. And finally, grace. Grace is a higher frequency gift of the source. When you get out of your own way by clearing and raising your vibration, then you are vibrating in the realm of flowing grace. You will know when you are ready to receive grace as suddenly your world will feel connected to your big love heart center. At that point, you become ultra-receptive. Read, trusting, to the cosmic flow and the dispensations from source. They were there all along. You have just expanded your awareness first, your knowledge second, your willingness third, your receptivity fourth, and your anticipation fifth. Grace happens to those who have not reached these criteria all the time. Most often it is a unique experience that is a blessing given to steer the recipient into the higher frequency field that likely will redirect the course of their moments of living. It is, in essence, a cosmic kick in the butt. To reach the realm of knowing and flowing in grace is a gift to those who have persisted and achieved the open vibrational state and reactivated the frequency of I am that I am expressing as me. It is a sweet and personal celebration of achievement, though nothing at all is expected of you. One can adopt a conscious attitude of being an agent of grace. Here one chooses to be a beneficent blesser of life in random situations. As you reach a higher vibration, you will be able to energetically impact the frequency and forms of those you interact with. If permission is given on higher levels, then you are free to dispense that which you discern appropriate. This is not done with any expectation or acknowledgement or recognition for being such a cool and spiritual being. The inner vibrational joy is the reward for your becoming the conduit of Source. You get to have a powerful experience over and over as you get synchronized with the impact of your grace given. It is beautiful and it is sublime and it keeps calling you back. You can only do this consciously for a period of time that will reveal to you. Then you become the recipient of grace and blessings yourself to ensure the balance. How great is that? To be an agent of grace is to put everything into its place and to be completely in the flow at the same time. In other words, all of these concepts, all of these ideas that we have come up with in this process is to put them all because you trust them and are willing to experience them to make them your own. That sets the stage for the grace. It's like the pat on the top of the head of the puppy dog. It's a good job there, Spot. Good job, the universe says. Here's a plate of grace. Yeah, isn't that good? Isn't that really good? Here, let me rub your belly. You know, it's just a beautiful journey. It is just a beautiful journey. I don't know. It's bittersweet coming to the end of these, and because so much has gone into this, and so much has happened, and it's taken so damn long. But it is what it is, and the forum has delivered itself in ways that serve us on many levels. Listen, can you feel it? The new vibration, dancing and singing, bringing light and truth. Offer no resistance, let the frequencies infuse. Oscillate, celebrate, be removed. Be renewed, open up to receive. There you go. Next week we'll have our final class. It'll simply be a one-evening experience, and that will bring closure to the whole process. Thank you for being a part of this in whatever way you have been able to, for those of you who continue to show up on a regular basis, and for those of you who just became, because of life circumstances and personal choice, just did the call, got the recording and then went from there. I'm grateful, and thank you so much for being a part of tonight. I'll stay on for a minute or two here if there's any comment or question. All right, we are done. Good night.